Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grubner. With us as always to talk all things markets is University of Missouri, Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
All right. As we talk today, not really a busy week for us. There was a big announcement from USDA today in two parts, one this morning, one this afternoon. The first one this morning came from the president, and we'll talk a little bit about those coming up. But to kick us off, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, on the cattle side this week, Fed cattle were $1.80 lower this week. You know, it was the July 4th holiday, so we really didn't see many of the feeder cattle markets with activity this week, so we're going to call them untested. On the future side, the August live cattle futures contract was down $2.50. While we had the August feeder cattle futures contract up nearly $2.80 this week, that was driven in large part by what was a continued slide lower in corn futures. September corn futures contract was down nearly 66 cents this week. On the beef side, the choice box beef price lost again this week, down about $7.55 on the week, with losses across the board in all of those components of that choice box beef. On the hog side, cash barrel and gilt prices were down about $2 this week, while the August lean hog futures contract closed up nearly $2 this week. Pork cutout value also gained some strength this week, up $1.35. Really led by what was going on with some stronger belly prices this week.
All right, let's talk weekly slaughter numbers, and that'll kind of dovetail into my next question because I think they'll match up together as well. As we take a look at those for this week, obviously down because of the 4th of July holiday on Monday, where are we ending up and how are we doing compared to a year ago?
Yeah, so small runs this week, and again, 4th of July holiday had an impact, 582,000 head of cattle for the week ending July 10th. That's 44,000 head less than a week ago and 67,000 head less than a year ago. And now that puts year-to-date cattle slaughter only up 4.9%. And we've been quickly going down in that year-to-date total. So I think as we continue to roll forward here the next few weeks, we'll see us get even lower yet on the hog side. A run of 1.923 million head this week, according to USDA. That's 354,000 less than a week ago and 674,000 less than a year ago. And now year to date on the hog side, we're up 0.1%, again, year to date. So I expect when you and I talk next week, we might actually flip over to the other side and talk about hog slaughter below year ago levels.
When we look at the demand picture and we talk about weekly slaughter numbers, we talk about prices just in general, how much is this whole, the summer months? I mean, we're halfway into, well, maybe not physically halfway into summer, but we are well into our summer season. Do we expect a slowdown of domestic demand as well? And how does that play into what happens in the markets?
Yeah, so I think traditionally we start to kind of get in what I might call a little bit of the summer doldrums, where it's hotter, maybe a little less interest to go out there and put things on the grill at this point in time. Demand has been strong. I think the other part of this too, Megan, is that, you know, we're starting to talk about maybe food service that's continuing to not expand at the rate it would have a month and a half ago in terms of refilling that pipeline. And so I think all of that gives us a little bit of things to watch going forward. But when you look at the supply side, hog slaughter that year to date will be below year ago levels is nothing but positive. When you think back, it's been several years, Megan, since we've talked about hog slaughter that might actually be below year ago levels when we get done with 2021.
It's definitely interesting to watch how that's been playing out and how those numbers have been playing out as well. The big report this week, Scott, monthly trade data. As we take a look at that, a big month for beef.
That's right. Jump on the train. It was a good month in May for both beef and pork exports, frankly. We'll start on the beef side, 318 million pounds of beef and veal exports. That is a record high for a single month since we've been keeping that data. China's certainly important to that mix. When you look at exports of beef to China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, relative to 2019, up 36.3 million pounds. But we had strength everywhere, Japan up, South Korea higher, Mexico, all of the markets also higher. So what a good month and strong export demand. On the pork side, I'm frankly equally impressed with what happened on the pork side as well. So 687.8 million pounds of pork that left in May of 2021, that's 70 million pounds more than where we were a year ago. And I talk about it in a positive way because China, Hong Kong, Taiwan was actually down 103 million pounds year over year. So that took some pretty strong gains to places like Mexico, Japan, a lot of other markets. We've been talking about this. When you exclude Japan, South Korea, China, Mexico, all those other markets were up nearly 56 million pounds year over year. So a really good story all the way around when we look at that export market.
How important is it when we look at those numbers to where they're going? I mean, you mentioned it a little bit, but as we look at those subsequent markets that we don't necessarily talk about every day, and how important is it for us to continue the momentum in those markets and either in even markets that we don't talk about as much?
Yeah, so I think those are actually the critical ones to get growth going forward. I'll take a Japan. So we want growth to Japan, and I think we can get some growth into Japan, but that's a harder lift relative to where we would have been a decade ago, let's say. So as that market in Japan becomes more mature, it's harder and harder to grow additional amounts, I think, of U.S. product going in. Yet some of these new markets where we're just getting our foot in the door, I think those are the ones that could show a lot of growth over the next 5 to 10 years and certainly worth the investment that we're making trying to grow some of those new markets. We're always going to need to be looking, I think, for new markets as we want to continue to grow both the beef and pork industries in this country.
We don't typically talk about the weekly export sales reports, but I looked at this morning's, which was a day late because of the holiday on Monday, and it was a massive increase week over week for both beef and pork, but it was also significant increases over the past 4 weeks when you look at those comparisons. Is that a sign of maybe some business going in ahead of the holiday or some sales going in ahead of the holiday last week? Or is that something that we need to keep an eye on as well?
Yeah, so you ask a good question. I was just looking this morning at the difference between what we were getting out of the monthly report versus what were some of the weekly shipment numbers that you're referring to. And I'll say the good news, sometimes those always haven't been in lockstep with each other. But when you look at what's been happening the first half of the year, they have been much more lockstep than I've seen for a while. So I think when you point out just how strong we've seen some of the weekly numbers, to me, it tells me we come back in June, it's going to be another good month for us, both in beef and pork, given what I see happening on a weekly basis. So I think we have news to tell there. And again, I don't want us to forget that recovery, and I should be careful about saying recovery, but as we've kind of come out of the worst of COVID-19, I think it's helped other countries as well. So the demand side pulling, not only in the U.S., but in the rest of the world, we don't want to lose sight of the help that's providing to our ability to export beef and pork.
All right. Big news of the day, executive order from President Biden this morning, which is addresses some competition issues, but also product of the USA labeling. And then the announcement this afternoon, $500 million to help grow medium-sized, smaller and regional processing and expand capacity. Let's start first about and talk about the processing capacity one. We know this is something that we've been talking about, that we have continued to talk about. Obviously, good news, but how soon can we make this good news better news and address this processing shortage issue and bottleneck to help producers?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. I think it takes time, but being able to expand some of the more local processing that's going on is nothing but a help. Now, I want to remind us that it's difficult for those smaller processing investments to offset some of the large plants that we have. And so it isn't necessarily the fix that we need at the end of the day, but it helps in terms of getting some of those new plants on board. I hope that some of the expansions and some of the smaller plants where this money might be helpful we'll look at trying to fill some of the niches that I think are interesting. And I think many of us have seen consumers more interested in local products. And that may be the real win here of value added opportunities from some of these small processors to perhaps return more dollars back to producers. I know that's ultimately what a lot of these cattle producers, for example, would like to see, just given how tough they've seen margins relative to the box beef price. To me, that investment in connecting to the local consumers, adding value that consumers are willing to pay for, could be a big win for some of this investment that might happen.
Scott, too, let's talk about that executive order and increasing competition really in the ag sector. It talks about it's directing USDA to consider new rules under the Packers and Stockyards Act, specifically chicken processors as well. And then that product of the USA label. How does this come back? I mean, we know it benefits producers, but let's talk about how it benefits producers here in the U.S. in the long run.
Yeah, so I start at it this way. You know, we have more competition for the animals there. The one thing that we know is we get more price discovery. And if we currently don't have enough price discovery, which is a lot of the conversation that goes on in the industry, that, you know, we don't negotiate enough cattle on a regular basis to get adequate price discovery, I always say more negotiated trade gives us more price discovery. Whether it gives us higher prices, that's a whole different question. And I'll say it can cut both ways. But there's nothing wrong with more negotiated trade happening in the cattle industry to create more price discovery. That's the issue. I think it's hard. There's a lot of people on all sides of this issue. It's hard to know what the right level of negotiated trade is. We can look at some other ag markets who have even less cash trade. Hogs, for example, that also could certainly be ones that we talk about. Chicken is the other one where we have so little, if any, negotiated trade going on at this point, that competition and additional price discovery could be helpful. I always worry if we're talking about increases in the number of packers that are out there, somehow we decrease the size of some of these large plants. I know there are economies of scale in those large plants, and so we may get better price discovery. What do we lose in terms of economies of scale, and what's the net for cattle producers at the end of the day? To me, that is the critical question, and I think we've kind of missed that as we've been in this discussion of what's the right balance for the industry.
Scott, I think that'll wrap it up for us today as we look ahead to next week. A little bit busier week for us, starting off the week with supply and demand.
That's right. USDA gives us WASDE. I'm really curious to see what, if much, they do in terms of estimates for corn and soybean prices, given the acreage report and subsequent weather that we've seen. We get retail prices and finish the week with consumer sentiment.
Sounds like a plan. We'll see you next Friday.
Sounds good, Megan.
To have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning, go to brownfieldagnews.com. You can also submit questions and comments there. And for all of the really great Brownfield podcasts, go to brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.